Good morning and welcome to Dallasburg Baptist Church. It's good to see y'all this morning and welcome to all y'all at home there on Facebook or at home or wherever you're at this morning. Good to have y'all with us as well. Michael and his family are on the road and traveling this weekend. Anyway, I'll be filling in a little bit for him, and Mr. Bob will be here to bring a message to us here after a little bit. But we'll go over some of our announcements. This weekend is this Saturday is our Saturday to Serve at Dining with Dignity. Friday night will be the prep night here at the church, starting at 5 o'clock. Anyone that would like to serve at Dining with Dignity on Saturday needs to be at the church by 3:30, and we'll need at least 8 to 10 people. That sound right? Feels led and feels like the Lord's calling them to share some type of message. That'd be a good place to get your feet wet and to get up and to give it a try. And starting June the 2nd, we're going to start back in-person meeting on Wednesday nights. And with that, we'll also be starting back Team Kid. And we need some help with Team Kid. See, the rotation of teachers runs through a month. If you'd like to serve in that rotation, please see Mandy and let her know. I know they need some people to step up and help teach and work with the kids on Wednesday nights. Let's see, also the Dallasburg Church family has been invited to Raphael and Ruby's wedding on June the 12th at 3 o'clock here at Dallasburg. There's an invitation posted out in the hallway on the bulletin board out there if you want to take a look at that, but they've invited the Dallasburg family to come and join them for that as well. Also, the bagging process has started for the Gospel to Every Home. And they need more help. They've got over 10,000 bags to stuff. There's two locations have been selected, and you can help at either one or both. Below are the locations, times, and contact information. So you got a chance to do it at First Baptist on Tuesdays from 9 to noon and 6 to 7:30 p.m. Contact Anna Cook. She's the one that's taking care of the First Baptist location. Also at Glencoe Baptist Church on Thursdays from 9 to noon. And you can get a hold of Pat Collin, I believe is how you say that, phone number, date that. Vacation Bible School dates are coming up June the 20th to 24th with a family night and our summer picnic on June 25th. There's probably still a lot of opportunities to serve there and to work at Bible School in the past. Budget committee meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Anybody have any other? Well, y'all stand with us as we sing. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh Lord.
precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and cleansing power revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. Then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory.
This morning comes from Psalms 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord. We thank you so much for the blessing it is to gather here together this morning with our family. Father, I just pray that you would fill this place with your spirit, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord, as we need to hear from you today. And Father, I just pray that you are pleased with our worship this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray.
Beneath cloud of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come deal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Fall in his arms, come as you are. There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are.
Amen. Y'all may be
6:4. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can for
Mr. Bob probably really doesn't need any much of an introduction, but I was going to introduce him anyway. I said Michael and them's traveling this weekend, but we've been blessed with the opportunity to get to hear Mr. Cole this morning. And Lucy called him the other day. And he said,
thank you, JT. It is a privilege and an honor to come and be with you here again this morning. It's good to see you all back in the sanctuary. It's good to see you with basically most of us with masks down. If you haven't had your COVID shot, I urge you to do it, because that's the only way that we can totally, 3 out of 4 get their shot, and there's one guy walking around it can be getting it. It can spread it back all over again if you don't look at things right, you know. But anyway, so much for my public service announcement. Have you ever heard a sermon somewhere in your life that just pops at you and you can remember it? Some that somewhere down the line that a preacher preached one and just hits you really good right there in the heart. I had back in 1970, the spring of 1970, which is a long time ago, about 50 years ago, I heard a preacher when I was going to college. We went to a church called Central Baptist, and this preacher was preaching this Sunday, and what he said meant something to me. Now, in the spring of 1970, I was getting ready to graduate in May from pharmacy school. I was 24 years old, which is a long time ago, it seems like. My first son was born in February, and I was asking myself, what in the world am I going to do now? What kind of job, where am I going to take a job? Am I going to stay with the company I was working with during school, or to work for another independent? You know, I didn't know these answers. Would I stay in Lexington when I have to move? And so, God, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do, Lord? That was the question I was asking. And I looked in the bulletin this Sunday, and lo and behold, the title of the lesson, you're talking to me again, here we go. And so, as I looked down and started to listen, and I didn't really know what direction he was going to go in. But anyway, I listened to him, and what he said to me made a big difference. Now, I'm 74 years old. I still find myself asking that same question. What is in that spring of 1970, I heard the focus, and over the past 54 years, I have tried, not all of them, I got 10 or 12 of my life verses, but I don't focus on just one. I think that's bad to do that. But if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and I will be reading out of the ESV. Micah 6. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against the people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him? And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal? And that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. And the people answer, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, or mercy, another word for it, and to walk humbly. Micah was a prophet in Judah who prophesied from approximately 737 AD to 737 BC to 696 BC in Judah. And of course, he was the author. He was one of the 12 minor prophets. He was a contemporary of Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea. Micah's messages were directed at primarily Judah, but also Israel. At this time, you know that Israel and Judah were two separate states. Israel was already having a lot of problems. He was telling the people of Israel, you better straighten up. Micah describes not only what God is like, but how people can be God-like. His whole book is pushing. It's difficult sometimes for us to look that way and see that way. And that's what had happened. God was upset. He was very upset with them. And judgment was coming because the people of God were no longer. Instead, there was corruption, oppression, bribery, injustice. And the people were not able to see that something had to be done. They were unable to see their own faults, what they were doing. They were unable to see that they had gone away from act like God's people. It's kind of like us coming to church on Sunday and being very reverent and great, but living like hell. What had gone wrong? They had neglected their relationship with the Lord. So much so, their heart's afflictions had been overtaken by the other things of life. In other words, they were trying to say, and they had sort of taken God for granted. They were still sacrificing. They were still giving their offerings, but they weren't always the. So he comes to come. They come and say, "What should I come before you, Lord? What should I give you?" In other words, with what shall I buy off my God? What do I have to do to keep my God happy? Just happy. So he'll leave me alone. Surely he will take my burnt offerings. That'll be okay. That was normal. My young calves, certainly God will be pleased with thousands of rams. Now nobody has. If I give him all my flock, surely he'll. How about give you my firstborn for my transgressions? Now the law said that you should dedicate your firstborn to the Lord. I'd already said that. But they were exaggerating their claim. I'll give you the firstborn. Surely that'll make. To that, Micah elegantly responds, what is preaching and teaching and prophesying? He probably got his, hello, Israel. Hello, Judah. Can you hear me now? Are you paying attention at all of what I'm saying? God has already told you what is required. Get a clue. His desperation doesn't translate well in from Hebrew to Greek to English. But he was pouring out his soul to the Jewish people. He wasn't just talking to Joseph Schwartz, the butcher, or Samuel Mueller, the clothier. He was talking to the whole nation of Judah and Israel. And this, in turn, was the explanation for the change in the way they were living and how they were treating others. So kind of get back to you and me now. What does God want you? We already know. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does to act justly, to love mercy. A requirement is something essential. It's a condition. It's something that is expected, something that is necessary. So when God says, what does the Lord suggest you do this? He says the Lord requires you to do this. So it's our job to do so. This requirement is not something that completes a need in God, but one that completes a level of spirituality in us. It brings us closer to God. God could do without it if he wanted to. It's not something that he needed. This is what God requires: to act justly. The phrase to act justly means to see God's judgment or God's wisdom. One of the charges God brought against the people in Micah's day had to do with their scheming, their conniving to get what belonged to others, adding or subtracting weights on the scales, adding or extra money to a land deal or things like this. Cheating the widows and orphans and the poor, widows, orphans, and orphans, can't talk today, or the poor from what was legally theirs. They had lost all respect toward treating others as God commanded. So therefore, as God and God's ambassadors, we are advocates for the rights of the unborn child, advocates for the fair treatment of the stranger in our midst, advocates for the elderly, the poor, the unfortunate, those with special needs, the one who needs another chance. We must treat all people right. Red or yellow, black or white, they are precious in his sight. So we need to take care. Notice that God not only requires that we act justly, but the love, NIV, we all understand the meaning of mercy. Anything from compassion, being affectionate, gentle, forbearing, etc. When we receive mercy, what undeserved, we need to remember that too. And we need to show mercy upon other people. There's a parable Jesus told about the man who came before him and owed. Let him go. Wiped out the whole debt. He had a debt bigger than he could pay for in his lifetime. And so the man went away and was glad that he had been set free from this debt, and met a man on the street who owed him. He demanded the talent. And he said, no. The first debt found out about what this man had done and called him, restored his. That's kind of how God is with us. We have a, but what is he? We're not to hold them. It is God's will for his children to love mercy. We do this by sharing his grace, not judgment. We do this by sharing forgiveness, not blame. We do this by sharing his patience, not irritation. We do this by sharing his kindness and not our harshness. We do this by sharing his holiness, not fleshliness. We are to act justly. We are to love mercy. But there's one more thing we need to do: to walk humbly with God. Walking humbly with God may be the most challenging part of this text. We are much better at defining what it isn't than what it is. For instance, to walk humbly is neither to have your nose up in the air or your shoulders over your feet. To walk humbly is not to exalt yourself, to worry or be bothered by what others. To walk humbly is not to be above someone or below someone, but rather with someone. It is not thinking you can do it all on your own, carrying a burden upon your limited human shoulders, but to share it with God and others. It's not forgetting that you're human. It's not living without grace. It is not playing God. So maybe walking humbly with God is simply about paying attention to who we are and what is around us. It's like Micah said, I will wait on God and God will hear me. Then when there is a crisis in our country and around the world, human beings can come together and listen to one another and come up with solutions and say, no more. There's a better way. Let me tell you about it. Right now, what does the Lord require of you? To love kindness. A lot of people remember when Jesus preaches, he didn't preach from the New Testament. It wasn't here. In Matthew 23:23, and this, knowing that it's the New Testament, that what Jesus said, what Jesus led us, how that works. And Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes in this passage of Matthew. It's called the seven woes. And in Matthew 23:23, he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin. Important. These things you should have done with the offerings that you give are not as important as what we do in serving God by being just, showing mercy. Jesus called the Pharisees out because the Pharisees considered themselves the most righteous and religious people of the land. They loved to show off their so-called righteousness, dressing and wearing the phylacteries and just praying out loud in public and lifting themselves up before God and bringing others down around them, bragging about their tithes, quoting scripture and offering what God intended. But Jesus called them, we must realize what God and Jesus expect us to do. He has shown us what we need to do. Justice, mercy, and faith. But you can't do justice and mercy in God's way unless you have faith. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, have never laid that before, today is the day of salvation. We don't know. Someone asked me, I said, why you say that? He said, the closer I get to that, you know, you don't know the time or place. 99. This church moved as long as it. Remember the last sermon you heard. The last sermon I heard today was, try to remember something that God has put on your heart. That hopefully when somebody stands up, at least wise, take the scripture and look at it. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I come. Father, I thank you so much for everything that they do for you in this community, in this county, Father. Watch over each person. Keep them safe. Be with those that are sick. Help them to heal. Be with those that have lost loved ones this past couple of weeks. Watch over them and give them grace, give them peace. Guide us now.
I can't give a better invitation than what Mr. Bob has already done, but man, if God is working in your heart and in your life this morning, if he's calling you to himself, if he's calling you to repentance, whatever it is, like Mr. Bob said, don't put it off another day. Don't put it off till you walk out these doors. Mr. Bob's down here. There's several of us in there. You can come talk to whoever you feel comfortable talking with. If you just want to come pray this morning, that it's open down here. Just whatever the Lord's leading you to do. Trust him only.
trust in now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, his blessings to
together here this morning. Good to see y'all, each and every one of y'all, and thank you again, Mr. Bob, for coming and filling in this morning. And as we get ready to go, Jackie, would you close us out in prayer?